Amen. This morning we're going to talk about emotions as our enemy. And I want to start by going back to when we were talking about ordinary impulses last week and pick it up at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. When we were saying that you're still, and these are little add-ins, okay? This isn't word for word what your word will say, but I'm adding in pieces. You are still on spiritual, having the nature of the flesh, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as there are envy and jealousy and wrangling and fractions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves at a human standard and like mere unchanged men? And I really didn't change what it was saying, but in you put the other words in there, it kind of helps you to understand more what he's saying. If you read it without those extra words, some people will go, huh? You know, so that kind of helps you to see what he's talking about. So we're talking about people are, you know, basically of a human nature. And when we let our emotions control us, then what happens is we operate out of the flesh or our nature. And it's our emotions. But our emotions are our enemy. It's not something that we really have to work against, but we have to keep them under control. In Watchman Nee's book, Spiritual Man, he tells us two things. First of all, he tells us that emotions may be nominated the most formidable enemy in the life of the spiritual Christian. Okay? And secondly, he therefore who lives by emotions lives without principle. He's actually saying the same thing as Paul did in the passage in 1 Corinthians. Okay? We cannot be spiritual, and that is to walk in the Spirit, and be led by our emotions. Because there's a lot of times when God's telling us to do things, we're going, I can't do that, but you're going and doing it anyhow. You know what I'm saying? If you listen to your emotions, you never go forth. I was saying to someone this morning, you know, words don't get a job done. Talking about it doesn't accomplish anything. You have to move forward in order to succeed. You know, otherwise you're just standing still, stirring up the mud and not getting anywhere, just burying yourself deeper. So, you know, emotions you got to get over sometimes. I am getting very bad about just thinking about people. You know, they just need to get over themselves. You know, because that's basically what the problem is they are too focused on them and who they are and what they want and how they feel that they're not taking in the whole picture. So emotions aren't going to go away from us, but we can learn to manage them. It is something that we can do. We all have them. We have to learn to deal with them. But we have to know we can't trust them. You know, because sometimes, like I said, when somebody comes in us in our giving hearts, they say they're homeless, lost their job, on hard times, need some help. And automatically, out of the generosity that's in us, we want to help. And like we, you know, we've talked about before, sometimes without even asking God, what should I do, Lord? We jump out there in our emotions and help when actually God would prefer that we didn't. Or that he might tell us, well, don't give them money, but offer to go pay their electric bill. Don't give them money, but offer to go buy them food. You know, go with them to buy the food. You know, because some people will take the money and use it for other things and not use it for what they need it for. So, you know, we have to use wisdom. And otherwise, if we let our emotions rule us, we'd be giving away everything because we just want to help. We don't want to see other people without. So we want to help. We know that the mind is a battlefield. We've heard that many times. The place where a battle is being waged between our spirit and our soul. And our enemy in our mind is our emotions. Because our emotions is a thing that tells us, I'm going to go up and say this and get yourself in trouble, okay? When really wisdom would tell you, just temper down, get yourself together, and go talk to them appropriately about it. You know what I'm saying? It's our emotions that has us setting off and poking our sister back because, after all, she irritated me or she poked me first. You know, does it really help anything? No. You know, all it does is that now you poked her too. You know, but it doesn't really help anything. It doesn't solve anything. Now there's just two of you, Andrew. So, you know, we have to learn to rein back on some things and be more like, hey, What was that for? Instead of just hitting them back. Yeah, like I said to someone the other day, maybe they were trying to kill a mosquito on your back. You don't know. And it could be true. You know, or something of that sort. So, you know, don't just assume that you need to smack them back. They might have been doing something helpful for a change, and it just may have been perceived differently. So we need to make sure that our emotions are under control and that we find out what's going on and what God wants us to do about it before we jump in both feet first and end up flat on our face, okay? When our emotions pulsate, our mind becomes deceived, okay? And our conscience is denied its standard of judgment, meaning that when my emotions get in the way, I don't think rationally. And what I normally would believe in or agree to or not agree to is out the window because I'm not thinking rationally. Because my emotions have me off base. And I'm on balance. So my emotions are going to talk me into things that normally I wouldn't do. Okay? So that's why it's important that we keep our emotions under check. Okay? For kids, you know? I'm going to skip school today. You know? We can jump into the temptation and skip school and maybe get in trouble for it. Or maybe we decided, no, I'm not going to do that, resisted that temptation. And we went to school, and everybody else that went got caught. And guess what? We were good. We were at school. We could have been caught, but we went to school. So, you know, our emotions will convince us that things are okay because it's something that we really want to do. But is it something that I should do? You know, it's like I tell my son, it's not what you want, it's what you need. You know, and you need to learn the difference between what a need is and a want is. Because we all want things. We don't need them. Okay? Yeah, we want to receive it, but we really shouldn't. If we had what we were asking for, we would go, oh my God, what was I thinking? You know, and we've done that. I've done that I don't know how many times in my life. I've asked for something, and when I received it, I thought, why did I keep my mouth shut? I was better off before. You know, so, you know, sometimes our greatest gifts are unanswered prayer, they say, you know, and it's true. But our emotions will tell us God isn't answering our prayers. God doesn't really care about me. I might as well just do what I want to do anyhow. That's your emotions. That's the lies of the enemy in the battlefield of your mind at work, okay? And we have to be able to recognize it for what it is, stop it and cut it off right then, and say, you know, yeah, I know it kind of is really screwed up and I don't like it, but if I let this go, then I'm going to be better off than if I buck against it. Because, you know, it's just going to put me in a worse place. But our emotions would tell us, go do it anyhow. There will be so much pleasure from it. Only for a moment, and then you have a price to pay. You know, and that's the problem. Sin is that way. It takes us further than we want to go. You know? Yeah. It costs us more than what we want to pay. Yeah. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. You think you're going to leave it be, and it's not going to go. You know, it's going to hang right on once you have tagged along with it so long. So, you know, we have to understand that the way to know that it is God and not our emotions, that our emotions urge us to urgently go and do it. Okay? It's like, gotta do it now. That's because if you stop and think about it, you'll realize that you really shouldn't be doing it. Okay? So if you have an urge that just can't be quenched, that you really think you gotta do it right now, or I'm just gonna die if I don't have that. You know, well, you might die if you do. So you better stop and back up a couple minutes and think about it. Okay? Because it's our emotions that urge us to haste. And that's, you know, hurry, 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 before you stop, think about it, let's get it done, type thing. You know, it wants you to be in a quick hurry to get there. Because if you're in a quick hurry to get there, guess what? You won't stop and think about what you're doing. It's when you stop and think about it that the enemy is upset. Because now you have a chance to change your mind. He don't want you to change your mind. He wants you to just plunge head first into it. So they tell us that We have to do something, and we have to do it right now. It's your emotions, okay? But godly wisdom will usually tell us to wait until we have a clear picture of what it is that we're supposed to do, okay? He may tell you, I want you to go and visit so-and-so, and that may be all that you know. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't go to that person's house, because it may be on your way there or when you pull in the driveway, he says, now when you get in there, this is what I want you to do. So you just have to have a clear picture of what that next step is. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have the whole picture. Because sometimes if we had the whole picture, we'd never gone to that house. Okay? So sometimes God gives it to us in pieces, but we always clearly understand what it is we are supposed to be doing. And he will draw us to it gently. Come on. Come on, you can do it. Come do this for me, please. He doesn't shove you into it. He cajoles you into it. He asks you to do it. He's a gentleman, okay? But when we have that clear picture of what it is that he wants us to do, we need to go forward in what he wants. You know, what we all need to do really is develop the capacity to back away and view our situation from God's perspective. Unfortunately, none of us will ever be able to do that. Okay? Just going to tell you, it's not going to happen. But that is what we need to be able to do. To be able to really understand. And God doesn't want us to understand our steps. He doesn't want to know what each moment brings. He wants there to be the mystery of life before us. He wants us to experience things as a newness, a freshness. He doesn't want everything to be pre-perceived. Okay, so there's this godly wisdom, and part of it is that we need to have God's perspective about things. The way we get his perspective about things is learning the word, knowing what he thinks about things. Because there's something in the Bible about every fraction of our lives. I don't care what it is, there's something in the word about it. So we need to be able to make decisions based on what we know, than rather what we're feeling. So, I know that I really want to do this, but my word says, don't do it. You're being deceived. The enemy is drawing you away. If we don't know what the word says, then what are we going to pull from to save ourselves? Seriously, think about it. If we don't know what the Word of God says to us, then how are we ever going to tell the devil to get behind us, because we won't know what the Word says? The enemy knows what the Word says. We need to know what the Word says. Yeah, it's one thing to sit in a church service, service after service after service, and listen to someone else talk about the Word of God, but there is so much more than what you hear across the pulpit. There's so many in-between places that never get spoke about. And we need to know all of it, because it all comes together in a great story when you have all the interlocking pieces that are left out in between. So when you read your word, and you know, you always hear people, I read my word cover to cover. I actually have, okay? It was something that we did in a class that we did when we first started running this church. Everyone in, you know, we, book by book, we went through everything. But, you know, the thing is, you need to know what's in there, every piece of it. Because you never know where the enemy's going to take you to. You never know what piece you're going to need. And, you know, you may think that you don't remember it, but if you have placed it in that memory bank of yours somewhere along the way, when the situation arises that you need that little gem, God will pull it out of your memory banks and place it in front of your eyes so that you know it and you know it was there. And then you can speak confidently and say, no, my word says, you get behind me. I don't have to listen to you. And you can get your emotions under control. You know, sometimes things are so close to us that it's hard not to be emotional. But you have to make sure your emotions don't make the situation worse than what it already is. Because a lot of times, you know, last night, little Isaiah, he fell and slashed his chin. And his daddy just snapped, had a fit, quit screaming and hollering. All he was doing is keeping the child screaming because of the tension in the air, the fear and stuff that was pumped through him that he was speaking like he was and stuff. You know, that stuff just kept him elevated where he couldn't calm down. So, you know, we have to understand that emotions are a powerful thing. And we have to be able to rein them in. I believe I told you guys about the story about the neighbor's dog that was killing the other dog because his tooth was hung up in his collar. The family couldn't get anything done because they were all too emotional. They were all too close to it to really see what was happening because of their own escalated emotions. Their yelling and screaming was affecting the dog worse than if they calmly spoke to him and got him to calm down so they could have got him disconnected. You know, you have to understand your emotions can cause you to run amok. And when you run amok, you do things that you really don't want to do. You say things you really don't want to say. You cause situations to be way worse than they ever needed to be. And it's all because you let your emotions have control. And that's what we really, really need to get under control. It's not, you know, shut your mouth first. Count to 10, whatever you need to do. Think about it before you open your mouth and speak. Because your first reaction to things is normally your emotions. Remember, emotions are going to hurry, hurry, get it out. Do it before you change your mind. Okay? Godly wisdom will cause you to wait. Will cause you to think about your actions before you think about them. Hey, before you do them. So, you know, you got to aim at, I'm making this decision according to my feelings and according to the will of God. Okay? It's not just because my emotions say that I got to do it. It's because something's pulling me to do it. And God's caused me to wait and given me clear direction on what it is I'm to do. Therefore, I'm going forward. If I feel rushed, if I feel hurried, like I got to get it done now, then God has no part in it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's emergency situations where God says, pray, pray now. That's different. The enemy isn't going to tell you to get down and pray for someone's health. Okay? So understand that. God does get serious about things like that. And there is haste in those things. You know, something's going on and the situation is happening, whatever. Then he does get, but that the enemy would never ask you to pray for someone like that. So that in itself gives you godly wisdom. No hurry. Okay? This is one time where you can hurry. So in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance. Excuse me. Basically, we walk by faith or regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or beliefs respecting man's relationship with God and to divine things. That's basically what we do. We have to get an emotional discernment. We have to be able to know when our emotions are trying to run away from us, when our emotions are trying to take us places that we don't want to go. You know, if we really get into the Word and we know what the Word of God says and we believe in God and know that when He speaks that He's not going to push us into the places we don't want to be, then with trust and holy favor, we should go forward and do it. This is how we should walk every day. Whenever you have any doubt, wait. Because God will give you another whatever. To let you know, yeah, it is what I want you to do. And sometimes I know there's circumstances where it's confusing and the waters are muddied around you and it's hard for you to discern whether or not that's really what God wants. And it could be that someone calls you out of the blue and say, hey, you know, God just told me that you need to. There's what you needed. Okay, so you need to know that sometimes you will have doubts. And believe me, if you do and God understands what you're going through, He will send some message, some way for you to know. It could be as simple as maybe you get little quotation emails or something, inspirational thoughts, whatever, and the inspirational thought just hits home, is right there where you needed it to be. It could be another confirmation for you. There's all kinds of ways that God can confirm what He has placed in our hearts. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to question it when we know it's God. So when faced with difficult decisions, you need to wait until you have a clear answer, okay, before taking a step that you may regret. Because emotions are wonderful things when you're feeling happy and everything's good. But they must not be allowed to take precedent over wisdom and knowledge, okay? If you know that you really shouldn't be doing something, but your emotions are saying, yeah, you really want to do it, you know it's not right. Don't do it. You know, if you know something's wrong in your life and you're really being convicted that you need to change, well, you're not going to change overnight, but you know something, you can start giving it to God and getting rid of it. You can start telling God, I know this is not what you want me to be. This is something that you don't want me to have. Help me to get rid of it. Show me a way to get around this so that I'm not displeasing in your eyes. You know, there's all kinds of things that we can do to take care of our emotional standing, our emotional balance. And we really need to have that balance if we're going to be able to be effective in the body of Christ. We have to remember to control our emotions or they're going to control us. And believe me, when they control you, it isn't always pretty. Now, believe it or not, this has finally brought us up to the first part of this teaching. All these weeks to get here, okay? And this is how to heal damaged emotions. This is the first part, okay? And I know from talking to people, this is kind of like the meat that everyone's waiting for. Okay, I know I have emotions. I know I have to learn to control them. I know that there's something going on here that I don't understand. So what do I do about it? How do I go about fixing it? Now, actually, I've been dropping you, little hints and gems all along the way. That's the first time that's ever happened. But healing emotions is a process, okay? Emotional wounds that we have aren't created in an instant. Usually, emotional wounds that we have are developed over time. Sometimes it's from early childhood. Sometimes we spend our whole childhood under that thing that made us what we are. So, you know, and other people have perfectly normal childhoods and grow up to be wonderful people, and then zap, in a moment something hits them, strikes them, and turns their whole life around to a person they don't even know. I don't know how many people I've talked to that have been in car accidents and have been put on prescription drugs and became junkies from it. You know, they were outstanding citizens, you know, nicest people you knew, and they went from that to losing everything because of an accident that caused them injuries that put them in a category to become an addict. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily happen all at once. Or overnight, even when you have these accidents and things happen that change your life forever, it doesn't happen overnight. There's a process that you go through to get there. And there's a process you go through to get it back out of it. Okay? And I'm sorry, remember the baby eaglet that we talked about? You don't get nowhere without struggle. Okay? You don't grow without the struggle. You don't grow without getting strong first. Okay? You're not going to survive unless you build up some muscle. Unless you build up some, I got this, okay? I can handle it. I know who I am in you, okay? And it's just like that little eaglet. He pecked and pecked and pecked and pecked and pecked, and finally he started seeing daylight, and he knew he had it beat. And he knew that all he had to do is keep pecking, and he'd get out. You know, and that's how we have to be. We have to reach that point. It requires an investment of time and diligent obedience to God's commands. Does it say, I'm not saying you're going to change overnight in an instant. Sometimes it does happen. But that's not a given. And, you know, once again, the struggle is worth the end result. So, yeah, I know it's hard. I know we don't want to. Our emotions tell us it's just too much. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's just too much. Yes, you can. Quit letting the enemy lie to you. Quit letting the enemy tell you that you are unable to do what God has told you has already been done for you. And that's to beat the enemy of your soul. That's to take away all the things that he's been heaping on you year after year after year after year. And until you can actually release those things to him, he can't touch them. So you have to understand God is there. He is waiting to take these things from you. But until you're ready, it doesn't do him any good to take them. Because you know what will happen? You'll snatch them right back. And you know what? You're going to be worse than you were before. And he doesn't want that. He doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to help you grow. So he's going to work with you. And he's going to do things with your emotions. So get ready. Because, you know, it isn't always pleasant being put through a press. But God's going to put us through presses until he clears out all those little pits and stuff that keep hanging us up. All those roadblocks that are in our way. Little by little, piece by piece, part by part, we get to be better people for it. Okay? Are we perfect? In no way. Are you ever going to reach perfection? No way. Don't let your emotions tell you you have. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday when I was driving. You know, I spent 5.5 hours in the car yesterday morning. And I said I had a lot of time to think because most of the time I was the only person awake in the car. So, you know, I'm sitting there thinking about things and everything. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who just, I don't know, they have no control over their emotions. And they let so many things happen. And even when they're letting them happen, in their mind is this thought going, I should not be doing this. I am really doing damage to this person by what I'm doing. Think about it. Haven't you ever shot off your mouth when you really could have reeled yourself in and just watched somebody crumble in front of you? And you know that I caused that. Your emotion that made you want to say that and have to say that right then, this is the result of what you thought you wanted. Is that really what you wanted? I find myself there, okay? And I think, oh God, if I could just take the words back, Lord. You can't. Even if you apologize, the damage already has been done. Now the enemy has words to work with. And he will once again use them in their mind, in his battlefield, to help destroy them if he can. So it's very important that we learn how to control our emotions. Because our emotions do so much damage. And we cause other people to do things that are hurtful. Because if I'm all upset and I really jump all over you and you leave me and you're upset now because I just jumped you, the first dog, child, or whatever it walks in front of you, you're going to be growling at it. Because why? Because I dumped on you, you took it in, and you're dumping on someone else now. And that's emotions. You know, sometimes I just have to stop myself and say, you know, I don't accept that. You can dump your trash here if you want, but I ain't picking it up. You know, because that's not my trash. And I don't want to be that person who is that ugly. So we can control our emotions by just saying, I have a choice here. Okay, and my choice is God. You ain't God. Okay? And that's how we need to be. You know, it's funny, we laugh about it, but it's true. That's how we need to be. And when we're serious about it, the enemy knows it. And that's what we have to understand is the enemy knows when you mean what you say. If you say, leave me alone, he's gonna laugh at you. Okay, and he's going to irritate you even more. You have to get that in you that you know that you know that you know what the word says, who it says you are, what it says you have in Christ, and use it. Okay? And until you figure that out for yourselves, because I'm saying these words, but even though I'm saying the words, some of you will take months to actually have a light bulb go off. Okay? Until you get these things rolling, you're going to have problems with your emotions. Okay? You need to learn to rein yourself in. You need to have that emotional discernment that will tell you you're getting off track. You're starting to look like someone besides Jesus. Okay? That will pull you back into a place where you can say, nope, I'm not going to go there. Not going to be that today. And stop yourself. Sometimes I just take a deep breath and go, okay. Hi. It's me again, I know. You don't like seeing me, but you just have to do it, because otherwise the devil is going to run all over top of you. You need to control your emotions. Next week we're going to start talking about healing these damaged emotions from your childhood and other things in your life. But I didn't want to really start delving into that too much because we're out of time now. Okay? And I wanted to have a good starting point next week. So we will actually be getting into more of the meat of what this is about next week. So come prepared to hear you. Some of it may be painful. Some of it may be hitting you. But just say, okay, God, that's me. I need to fix it. Don't run from it. Don't let your emotions tell you that she don't know what she's talking about, because it's not me. Okay? You have to understand, if it's hitting you like that, it's not me. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're thinking. I'm not a mind reader or a psychic or a prophet or anything else. I just am giving you a word. And if it hits you, then tell God, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And let him help you fix it. Because I can't tell you how to fix it. Only God can show you what you need to fix the problems in your life. Because we're all different. We all need different things in order to be healed. What works for one of us doesn't work for all of us. So, you know, that's godly wisdom again. Just because it works for one person, don't try it on everybody. It's not the same. Okay, you're going to be disappointed. Once again, your emotions will get in the way and tell you that none of it works. Okay, so your emotions, they play everywhere you turn. We need to control them. Amen.